Hey, today's daf is Nida Daf Samech Beis. We left off on Daf Samech Aleph and Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Daf Samech Aleph and Beis. And today's shir is once again sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Lezecher Nishmas, Marcel Weber, Mordechai Ben Yeshua, Menachem Mendel, Lava Shalom, who is Nifter and Tes Kislev, Nisham Shabin Aliyah. And we thank Henry very much for the continued sponsorship. And today's shir is also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Landerer as well for the continued sponsorship of the daf. So we're holding at the mission on the bottom. No, we're not yet at the mission on the bottom of Samech Aleph and Beis. We're up to the Tana Rabbanan before the Mishnah, I think, right? We're up to Beged Savua. Yeah, so we're going to discuss a little bit about Big Day Savonim and the halachas of Ksamim as far as they relate to colored clothing. And then we're going to move on to the Mishnah on the bottom, where the Mishnah is going to go through the test that they used to do in order to determine whether a stain is actually dam or whether it's just something else, that there are shiva samman and there are seven detergents that they would wash the stain with, and depending on whether the stain came out or not, that would determine whether it was actually dam. So the Gemara is going to identify each of these shiva samman, and then the Gemara is going to talk about a case, what happens if the stain doesn't come out the first time you wash with shiva samman, but then it comes out when you wash the second time with shiva samman. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about the geder of Tumah Balua. When do we assume that Tumah Balua is Einam Atame? What's called Tumah Balua? How do we identify that which is Tumah Balua? And we're going to have three rayas as far as that machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is concerned. So let's begin. We left off before the Mishnah. We are at Tan Rabban Beged Tzavua, which is the last word of line is Beged, the fourth wide line of the page on Samech Aleph and Beis. So Tan Rabbanan, Beged Savua Mitami Mishum Kesem, that if a woman finds Kesem on a Beged Savua, on a colored garment, it is Mitami Mishum Kesem. But Rabbi Nassim Yosef Omer Eino Mitami Mishum Kesem. Rabbi Nassim Yosef disagrees. He says, no, a colored garment is not Mitami Mishum Kesem. Shelo Tiknu Bigdei Tzavonim Leisha Ela Lohakel Al Kismehen. The Chamor only Misakin, that women should wear Bigdei Tzavonim, so that if they find a Kesem, they will not become Tame, because you cannot tell the color very well on a Beged Savua. So since the whole idea of a Ksam is only Gzer Drabanan, they weren't Gozer on Bigdei Tzavonim, where it's not so certain that what you think you're looking at is what you're actually looking at. It's not so certain that the color that you see is the original color of the Dam. There's a discussion in the Achronim, so how off white does it have to be in order to be considered a Beged Savua? So generally speaking, most of the poskim assume whatever a man would look at and would say is not, you know, that's not white. If he were to ask to identify that color, he would not say the word white, so that would be something that is a Beged Savua. We don't go by what a woman would say, because very often they're more familiar with different shades of colors. So they would call something, ivory or something like that, whereas a man would look at him and say, white, so ivory would be white. So the Rabbi Nassim said this unusual expression, though, Shalo tiknu bigdei tzavonim leisha, that the only reason they were misakin bigdei tzavonim leisha is because of ksavim. So says Gemara, tiknu, manta tekninu, what are you talking about being misakin bigdei tzavonim? Who is misakin? Whoever said that there's a takana that women have to wear bigdei tzavonim? So what it means is Ela Shlo Hudru Bigdei Tzavonim Leisha Ela L'Hakal Al Kismehen, that the Chum were only matir women to wear Bigdei Tzavonim in order to be makil on their Ksamim. So so says Gemara Hudru Mechal Da'asiri. Wait a second, being matir, that makes it sound like that initially there was some sort of Isser of Bigdei Tzavonim. Says Gemara originally there actually was some sort of Isser of Bigdei Tzavonim. Ditnan, because the Mishnah tells us at the end of Mesechus Sota, that Bepolmos Shal Aspasainus, when Aspasainus conquered Yerushalayim, Gozru al Atrus Chasanim, the Chum made a Gzeira that a Chasun Shinaparan and Atari Shinaparan a crown out on his wedding day, Vala Irus, and they were also Gozer that not to ring bells at a uh, at a wedding, as a sign of a celebration that's going to happen. And Bikshu Ligzor B'Ditzvonim, and the Chum also wanted to be Gozer that women shouldn't wear nice colorful clothing. So Amri, they said Ha Adifa Kedei L'Hakal Al Kismein, but they changed their mind on that last one because they said it would be better to allow women to wear colorful clothing because that's going to help them out when it comes to any Kesem Shailas. So therefore, B'Gdei Tzvonim creates a suffek because we can't tell the color of the dam, and since it creates a suffek, we could end up being mekel because ksamim are only drabanan. The Ramban paskins in Hilchos Nida, like the Tanakama, that a Beged Tzavua is metame mishum kesem. However, the Rambam in Yisuribia, Perektes, Alachazayim, paskins like Rabbi Nosson Bar Yosef, which is what the whole discussion of the Gemara is. The whole discussion of the Gemara is within Rabbi Nosson Bar Yosef. And that's what the Rosh paskins as well, like the Rambam. Because some are only mitami and mitivri sofrim, so we're always going to be more nota lahakel, and that's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerdei Simon Kuftzadi, which is a long simon all about ksamim. So we pass in that Bigdei Tzavonim are not mekabel ksamim. That goes Maimonios quotes the Shita of the Ravan and Rabbeinu Simcha that even Rabbi Nosson Bar Yosef, who's mitar ksamim on Bigdei Tzavonim, that's only to be mitar the beged itself as far as Negias Taharos, but as far as Baila is concerned, even Rabbi Nosson would be moded that the woman is tameya. Meaning, look at what the Brisa said. Beget savua mitame mishum kesef. It's talking about being mitame. It's not talking about whether the isha is asura labaila. And therefore, the Dagel Mervava wonders how come the Shulchan Aruch is so makel, so easily makel, without quoting even a daya that's cholik. Meaning, there are two dayos that are cholik. There's the sheet of the Ramban, first of all, that we don't even paskin the whole din of big day tzavonim. And then you have the Shita of other Rishonim, of the Ra'avan and Rabbeinu Simcha, that yeah, we paskin the din of a big day tzavonim, but only as far as the Metar is concerned, not as far as Baila is concerned. So Shlosha Chamurei Olam are Machmirim Bazeh, says the Dagel Mervava, the Ramban and the Ra'avan and Rabbeinu Simcha. So not even to quote it as a Yesh Omrim, so he finds that very difficult. But as far as Halacha Lamais is concerned, the Yitshuva Me'ava, the Talmud of the Dagel Mervava, the Talmud of the Nadebuvda writes that since Rov Poskim are all Mekel, so we're not allowed to be, we're not Machmir B'davar. And only if the Beged is Menumar, and you find a Kesem that's the size of a gris, if you have a spotted Beged, a lot of times you have like that a Beged is not one solid color, so there's some white and there's some Big Day Tzavonim, and you have a Kesem that's larger than a penny, that's partially on the white part of the Beged and partially on the non-white part of the Beged, so then we should be Machmir, says the Tshuva Me'ava, on Big Day Tzavonim, to say that the Chelek HaTzavua is mitstarif to the sheer gris. Why should it be mitstarif to the sheer gris? Because you can see the color by looking at the part that's on the white. So as far as the sheer gris, you know that this thing is larger than a penny. As far as identifying the color, just look at the part that's on the white and you can easily identify the color. So between those two things, that says the Tshuva Me'ava and the Chavos Das agrees, you should be machmir. But we're mekel on that as well. Many achronim, Sifrei Torah, Rav Kiv Eiger, are mekel on that as well. That's the shita of the meal tzedakah that we're mitzaref even the part that's on the beged, that's on the tzavua part of the beged. But we tend to be mekel that the part that's on the tzavua part of the beged is not mitzaref. We recommend that a woman that's going to wear big day tzavonim should not wear a spotted beged, because why get into these shailas and why raise these issues? Much better to just wear something that it's a solid color. So, but when push comes to shove, we're going to be mekel on that. So the Gemara originally had a lashon that they were misakin big day tzavonim, and then the Gemara changed it. The Gemara said no, they weren't misakin big day tzavonim, they were matir big day tzavonim. So it's interesting that the Rambam, in the ninth parak of Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Halacha Zayin, the Rambam writes, Lefichach, Tiknu chachamim shetelav yishisha b'gdei tzvonim kidei latzilu midin ksamim. The chachamim were misakin that a woman should wear b'gdei tzvonim. So the Beis Yosef says that's the havamin of the Gemara. The Maskana we say that they were never misakin, that it's hutru. And the Ramah changes the lashon of the Rambam a little bit. The Ramah writes it as a derech etza, not as a takana. The Ramah writes lefichach that not tiknu chachamim, but that it's something that she should do. So the Beis Yosef suggests the Rambam must have had a different girsa in our Gemara, because with our girsa in the Gemara, the word tiknu never should have made it. But then the Beis Yosef writes that it could be that from the Gemara asking man takninu, it sounds like there's no reason to be docha this lashon based on that they weren't docha this lashon based on svara. I mean, the reason that we originally said they were misaked, why did we move away from that? Because we said man takninu, where in history was there ever such a takana? So initially we thought, oh, it must be hutru, but then hutru mechal da'asiri makes it sound like hutru mechal da'asiri is a further question of the Gemara, and then when did they aser it? And then the Gemara identified a time that they asered it and they chose not to. Maybe the way the Rambam understood was understood the Gemara is he had our gears in the Gemara, but once they identified a time where they wanted to aser it, that was the time that tiknu. So we no longer have the kasha of man takninu. We know man takninu. It was a bepom l'sholas pesainus that tikninu. So once you can identify the moment that they were tikninu, so then we can go back to the original lashon of the Gemara that in fact they were masakin, and that's why the Rambam has such a lashon of takninu. So that's the idea. So in the pom l'sholas pesainus, a few things did make it. The ataras shel chasanim did make it as one of the takanos. Rashi Masechta Sota says that it was like an actual crown that they used to wear. Tosfos says a little differently. As Machlokas Amoraim, which atara the Chacham we're talking about? Lahalach, we pass like the Shita that any klilos and ataros are aser. Any sort of something that one would put on derech kavod on their head. And is going to be aser. Based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, the pasuk says Heisar Mitznefes Veherim Ha'Atara. So we dash from Bizman Shem Mitznefes Barosh Kohen Gadol Atara Barosh Kol Adam Nistalka Mitznefes Barosh Kohen Gadol Nistalka Atara Barosh Kol Adam. That if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the Mitznefes, then other people, meaning a Chasan on Yom Chupaso, doesn't wear an Atara. But it's Dafka on Chasan and Kala be Yom Chupasam, because that's a day of great Simcha. So there goes there to dafka lower the level of simcha a little bit. That's what Tosfos writes in Maseches Gittin on Daf Zayin, that specifically we find at a wedding that we institute a number of things that are zecher l'churban. That's what the Tosfos quotes in Maseches Brachos is the source of the minhag of breaking a glass under the chuppah. That the minhag to be shover zechuchas b'nisuin was also zecher l'churban, to bring down the level of the simcha. The Stechemed has a passage where he writes that he finds it troubling that ata rabim me'ame ha'aretz nepach lem yagol nesimcha, that which was supposed to be yagol, that which was supposed to bring down the simcha, the breaking of the glass, has turned into the source of simcha. He says b'shash virus hakadera yimali piyam schok v'tzokim mazel tov, that when they break the glass, everyone screams out mazel tov v'lo yadu ki b'makom gila shamte ra'ada, where they're celebrating, that's where it's supposed to be ra'ada, that's where it's supposed to be brought down. Liskor churban beitenu, simcha mazuosa. What are you doing? Why is there simcha? The simcha doesn't belong at the moment of the breaking of the glass. And he says, v'mischazei kochi avatal minagze. He says, I would be mevatal the whole minag. Others came up with another etza. Instead of being mevatal the minag, they came up with the etza that maybe you could break the glass while they're singing Yemeshkachech Yerushalayim, which is much more of a down moment. So and then after they sing Yemeshkachech Yerushalayim, then everyone could scream mazel tov and they can continue with the celebration. So the breaking of the glass during that context, the only thing is you have to let the band know, because the band very often is unaware and they're waiting for that, and then when they hear that, then they start up. So you have to let them know. I always tell the chassanim, let the band know in one of two things: either let them know in advance and they'll know as soon as the guy finishes singing Meshkechech that they should scream, that they should start playing the music, or after the glass is already broken in the middle of Meshkechech, when the guy finishes, just stomp your foot down on the ground, and they'll know that will be the symbol that they should play. It works either way. So the whole Indian only works if you actually sing a Meshkachech under the chuppah. A lot of people don't do that. They don't have a singing of Meshkachech under the chuppah. I was once at a chasna, and the guy behind me, I heard a guy behind me talking when they started singing a Meshkachech. One guy said, said to the other, "What's this? I never seen this before." And the other one says, "Ah, it's a Wayu Minhag." So it's not really a Wayu Minhag. The Gemara, maybe singing it, I don't know. But the Gemara says that you're supposed to say when they put the Efer Mikla al Berosh Chasanim. The Gemara says that it's based on the Pasuk of Vimeshkach Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, and the Nosikelim, the Shulchan Aruch, and Ebenezer say that you're actually supposed to say those words at the time when they're putting the Efer Mikla al Berosh Chasanim, when they put the ashes on that of the Chasim, which, by the way, is another minhag that zechel l'chorban, to put ashes on the head of on the chassan's head, b'makom hanachas tefillin. So these are the minhagim that we do as a zechel l'chorban. Okay, says the Mishnah, shivas ha'manim avir na l'kesem. Going back to Nida, so you have a stain, you have a blood stain, or a stain that you're not sure, you're not sure to identify it as blood or not. So there are seven sabmanim, seven detergents that you could wash the garment with to test whether it's dam Nida or it's just dam stain. So what are those seven detergents? Rok tafel, if you have raw saliva from when you wake up in the morning, like morning breath saliva. Ume grisin, you have water from chewing on beans. Ume raglai, urine, vinosar, some type of dirt from some type of ground, uvoris, some type of herb that apparently has the ability to remove stains, kamonia, another type of herb that they would dry and grind up and would be used to clean, v'ashlag, and something called ashlag. We'll see, we'll identify these things in the Gemara. So hitbilu, if a person is matbil beged that has the kesem before he's ma'avir the shiva sabmanim, and then v'asa al gabav taharos, and then he uses that with taharos, with things that are tahar. So he brought the beged to the mikvah while it still had the stain on it, and then he did it. He allowed taharos to come in contact with this beged, and then hevri loves shiva sammanim, and then he's washed it with these shiva sammanim velo avar, and the kesem remained. So I raise that seva. You could rest assured that whatever that stain is not dam. Dam would be removed with these shiva sammanim. So if the stain remained, then you know it's paint or something, or something like that, because dam would have been cleaned off with these shiva sammanim, and therefore hataros taros, the taros that that came in contact with this beged are tahar, meinu tzarech latbil, and he does not have to be tovel the beged again because he was already tovel it, and nothing has happened since the zman of the tefila. But avar, if when he was mavi the shiva sammanim, the stain actually disappeared, oshadiha, or at least dulled in its appearance, hareza a kesem. Then that's a kesem of dam nida, because the tseva is not. If it were tseva, it would not have dulled, or it would not have disappeared. Va'taharos tameos, and therefore the taros that were in contact with this beged since the time of the tefila are all going to be tamei, because you had this stain that was on the beged. V'tzarech lahatpil, and now after you clean off the dam, and after the shiva sammanim have cleaned off the dam, now you have to be tovel the beged again, and that tefila will actually work, because now the stain is gone. Ezeruk tafel, what is the definition of raw saliva? Kol shelo ta'am klum. Anytime a person has not yet eaten anything that day, his saliva is considered to be raw saliva. So the Gemara is going to discuss in tomorrow's daf for how long, meaning at a certain point during the day, even on a fast day, at a certain point during the day, a person's saliva does not have that same pungency, that same strength that it had originally. Umei grisin, and umei grisin means the isas grisin shel pul chalukas nefesh, if a person chews on some sort of porridge made of beans that the beans are separated from the klipa, from the shell, meraglayim shechmitzu, and meraglayim means that it's had time to really spoil, to sit for a while. Vitzarech lechaskes shalosh pa'amim, and one needs to rub into the beged three times between. He has to rub it together at least three motions of rubbing the sammanim into the beged lekol echad ve'echad, with each of the sammanim. Haviron shalok kesidron. Let's say a person was mavi the sammanim shalok kesidron, not according to the order that we just mentioned. Oshever shu sammanim ka'achas. Or he just threw seven detergents into a washing basin and he put the beged into that. Lo asa v'lo klum. The bedika does not help at all. And even if if the kesem remains, then it's not a raya that it's not dam nida, that it's paint or something like that, and the dam is not nisbatel mitumaso, because dam is not going to leave the beggar, and it's also not going to be mispatel unless you do the shivas amanim in the seder that the Mishnah recommends. The Ramam Ipanu writes, lo asa v'lo klum, instead of lo asa klum. What's the difference between the expression lo asa v'lo klum versus lo asa klum? Is to tell you that this ha'avara samanim was not bodek if the kesem is dam or tseva, but it also didn't ruin anything. Meaning it didn't ruin your opportunity to be bodek in the future. It's as if lo asa me'olam. It's as if you never did anything and you can now go and try again. Meaning if it would have said lo asa klum, then I might have thought that you did something that's negative, that would set you back further. Lo asa v'lo klum means you might think, it's when there's a hava amina, that you might think that what you did was a negative, that what you did would set you back. So that's why it has to say, no, lo asa, you didn't accomplish anything, but also v'lo klum. Don't worry, you also didn't really do anything that's gonna ruin anything. So I was just peeking right before the shir, I saw that dafka on that line of lo asa v'lo klum, and that ha'ara of the Ramam Ipanu, he says that's why we say by Kriya Shema, by Besham Besil, by Kriya Shema Shel Arvis in Meseches Brachos, that according to Beshamay Kori Bahatia, that a person should say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis dafka lying down, and according to Besilel, you can say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis standing up or sitting up. So Ram Bar Yecheskel says that Ha'osa Kedivr Beshamay Asa Kedivr Besilel Asa. If a person does like Beshamay, good, you don't say Kriya Shema, nothing wrong with it. You do like Besilel, also good. And Rav Yosef says Ha'osa Kedivr Beshamay Lo Asa Velo Klum. That someone who does like Dibri Beshamay is Lo Asa Velo Klum. According to the rule of Ramam Ipanu, that means that you might have thought that he did something negative, that he did something harmful, so now it's neither good nor bad. And then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Hosek Dibri Beshamay, Chayiv Misa. That if you do like Dibri Beshamay, you're Chayiv Misa. So you see that Ramam Bar Yecheskel was being Mekales, what Beshamay was saying, that if you do like them, you don't, you didn't lose out, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was saying more negative. Rav Yosef was not Mekalis and not Megana. He didn't praise it and he didn't say negative. He said Lo Asa to say not like Rav Bar Yecheskel, and V'lo Klum to say like not like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Meaning that Shita, that middle Shita of is not Asa, but it's Lo Asa V'lo Klum, that you didn't accomplish anything, but you also didn't hurt anything when you do like Beishame. So that's the chiddush of the Ramam Ipanu. So I was he quotes over here in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta. He says that in Stechemed he points out that there are lots of places in Shas where the lashon lo asa klum seems to be used even when there's a chiddush in that you haven't been mekalkel. Meaning, according to the Ramam Ipanu, we should have said lo asa v'lo klum when you would have thought that you were mekalkel in some way. And he says it's not. There are a lot of cases where this rule doesn't seem to work, and one of them is that which Rava says in the second parak of Maseches Shabbos. Hayatafus ner Chanukah va'omeid, that if a person is holding on to his menorah, his Chanukiah, and he's standing there holding it, lo asa v'lo klum. Hidlika bifnim va'otzia lo asa klum. And if he lit the ner inside and then brought it out, he's lo asa klum. Now there's no chiluk lahalacha between one who's tofes ner Chanukah biyado and someone who's madlik mi bifnim. So why would one say lo asa klum and the other one say lo asa v'lo klum? So that's one of the rayas that the Ramam Ipanu is incorrect. So he quotes in the Ma'asif Torah Mitzion, there miyashiv. Someone was miyashiv, they could say that the Ramam Ipanu is only on Tanaim, that the Tanaim are much more medaktik b'lashonim, as opposed to Rava is an Amora. So when it comes to Amoraim, maybe the lashonos of Amoraim are different than the lashonos of Tanaim, and maybe that's why the rule is not going to hold true. But that you just have to mention it because Chanukah. So now says the Gemara. So Tana Neser Alexandris. Velo neser and antipatris, that when we said that Neser is one of the Shiva Sammanim, it means from Alexandria, but not from another place that that they would bring Neser from. Boris, Amr of Yehuda, Ahala. Boris is a certain type of detergent called Ahala. So ask the Gemara of Atanya, but the Brisa says among those things that we're knowing Kedusha Shvius with is Haboris V'Ha'al, that these are two different things. Elamai Boris Kavrisa. So Boris is Kavrisa. So says Maru Minhu, but I'll ask you another stiro. When we talk about the minim that we're knowing Kedusha Shvius, we said Hosifu Aleyan, that the Chacham add to the list, in addition to the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah, that we're knowing Kedusha Shvius with, is Halavitzin Valuunin Haboris V'Ha'al. So V'I Boris Kavrisa, if Boris is Kavrisa, Mi Isle Shvius, do you mean to tell me that Kavrisa has Kedusha Shvius? V'atnan, but we have a Mishnah, Zaklal, Kol Shiesh Lo Iker, anything that has a root from which it gains its sustenance, Yesh Lo Shvius, has a din of Kedusha Shvius. V'kol She'ein Lo Iker, Ein Lo Shvius, and anything that doesn't have an Iker has no Kedusha Shvius, and Gofris is dirt, so there's no Kedusha Shvius. So Boris is clearly not Gofris. So how can you say that that's the identity of this of this detergent? Elamai Boris. So what is Boris? Ahala. It's Ahala, like we said originally. Aye, but what do we do with the kasha that we asked? But Tanya Haboris Vahel, didn't we list them as two separate items? Well, Trey Gavni Ahala, that there are two types of minim that are called Ahala. One of them is Boris, and one of them is just Stam, called Ahala, but they're both different variations of that item. Then Kamonia, we mentioned Kamonia as the sixth of the Shiva Sammanim, Amravida Shlof Dots. It's something that's called Shlof Dots, which is some type of herb that they would dry and grind, and they would use it as a hand sanitizer. So that's what they would use as one of the Shiva Sammanim. The Ashlag, the seventh of the Shiva Sammanim, something called Ashlag. So Amar Shmuel, Shaltinu L'Nuchusayama, I asked those who travel by sea, because they're more worldly, they see, they've been to different places and they've heard different languages. So I asked them, Va Amru, and they said, Ashlag Hashemei, it's called Ashlag, U'mishtakach Beni Nikvi Marganisa, and it's found among the holes of the pearls. U'mafkila Beramtsa de Parzala, and they would extract it using a long iron nail, or something that's hard and very narrow to be able to get into the crevice in order to pull it out. That's how they would extract this detergent. Okay, then we said hitbilu. So the Mishnah said, if the matbil a beged, and then you put that beged into contact with taharos, and then you remember the shiva sammanim, and the kesem remained, now you know it's just paint, it's not a stain, and any taharos that you dealt with are tahar, you don't have to be matbil a beged again. But if the kesem is removed from the shiva sammanim, so then you know that it was dam, and all the taharos are tame, you have to be tovel the beged again. So says the brisa, tan rabban heavier love shiva sammanim velo avar. Let's say you were mavri the shiva sammanim and nothing happened, which would be an indication that it's not dam. And then you were mavir tsafun, which is a cleansing agent, va'avar, and that caused the stain to leave. So taros of tameos. So the taros that touched that beggar are tame, because since the kesem ultimately was cleaned off, now we know that it was dam and the beggar is tame and the taros were tame. So it says more tsafun sevenami ma'aber. But wait a second. This tzafen is a detergent that should get rid of anything. It would get rid of dye as well. Ela hever lov shisha saman v'lo avar, hever lov tzafen v'avar taros of tomatoes. Now, what we mean to say is, if you didn't finish doing the shiva samanim, you did six of the samanim, and then instead of the last of the samanim, you did which was ashlag, I think, right? You did tzafen instead, and that removed the stain. Then the taros are tomatoes. Shem hever shvi mitchil shem. Because you have to be choshesh that maybe the seventh of the shiva sammanim also would have removed the stain. Meaning a person shouldn't say, come on, I did six out of seven and nothing happened. So obviously it's not dam. Because if six out of seven didn't do it, you think the seventh one would have. Yeah, you have to be choshesh. Shish, that the seventh one would have actually removed it. So if you didn't follow through in the entire process before using some super cleanser that cleaned off the stain, you still have to be choshesh that maybe it was dam. So another brisa as far as washing the beged. Tanya idach, hever lav shivas sammanim v'lo avar. If a person was maver shivas sammanim and it didn't remove the stain, and then shanan, then you repeat the process v'avar, and then the stain was removed. So taros of taros, you assume that it was tseva, it was not dam. Everything is tar, because if it was dam, it would have been removed on the first try. No, that's only talking about the taros that the beggar came in contact with between the first and the second washing, because then you know it's not dam because it didn't get removed from the first washing. But any taros that were done with that beggar after the second washing, taros of tomatoes, shere hikbir love, because by the fact that you were mavir samanim again, you were megala that you're still choshish that it was maybe dam va'avar, and then the kesem was removed. So if you thought that it was dam and you were treating it like dam, and then the kesem was removed from shiva samanim, now you're going to have to be concerned that it in fact was dam. So I'm going to remember the Rashi midib kpeta talia milsa. What the same stain, if a person would not have been makbid about it and tried to wash it again, we would have assumed it's absolutely tar, we would have assumed everything's fine. But because this guy was makbid about it and this guy decided to wash it again, oh, now all of a sudden it's dam, now all of a sudden it's tamim. Why would the objective fact of whether it's dam or not dam to be dependent at all on a person's personal hakpada? Amlein says, yeah, it is totally on a person's hakpada. Titania, Rabbi Chiya Omer, dam nida vadai. When you have dam nida, that's vadai. Mavril of shiva sammanim. You use the seven detergents that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Umevatlo, and then it's mevatel that dam, and it becomes tar, even if the stain does not get removed, because now a person is not going to be makbid on it, because the shade of the stain changes, v'amai, but why does it become tar? Hadam nida hu, it's dam nida, so it should still be tame. Meaning, once you're able to identify that it's dam nida, how does that change anything just because you use shiva sammanim? So alma b'kpeta tali milsa, apparently it's tali on a person's own hakpada, that if he's not makbid on it, then it becomes batel. So achanami b'kpeta tali milsa. So over here as well, when you washed it twice, it's dependent on a person's own hakpada. So if after the first tichboses he's been megaladas that he's still choshesh that maybe it's dam, and in the second tichboses the kesem gets removed like it would happen with dam, so we see that it has a din of dam, and the taros that it touched that touched the beggar now are in fact going to be tameh. So Gemara brings a mishnah that discusses tuma balua and a machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish, and that's going to be the sugya that takes us through the rest of the daf. So tanan hasam, we have a mishnah in Maseches Kelim. Charasin shenishtamish ben zav. If you have a kli charas that a zav used as a urinal, as an avit shalmei raglayim, shabalu mashkin v'naflu la'avir atanur v'husak atanur. So it absorbed the mashkin of the zav, which are tamei, and then that urinal went into the airspace of an oven, and the oven was fired up. The oven was heated up. Hatanur tame. The tanur is now going to become tame. Shesof mashke lotzeis, because the mashke that's balua in the charasim, the mashke that's balua in this kli, are ultimately going to leave the kli by being heated in the tanur, and that is going to cause the tanur to become tame, because the tanur is a kli cheres that's metame ba'aviro. So this liquid is going to come out. This urine is going to come out into the airspace of the tanur. Amrei Shlakish lo shanu el mashkin kalim, that this din that the tanur is tame is only when it was mashka that's tuma is kala, that has a lower level of tuma, that when that comes out of the charasim into the avir tanur, it's going to be mitame midrabanan. Aval mashkin chamurin, but if you have mashkin that like meiraglayim of a zav or a zava, not the mashkin kalim are like dimas eno, that is tears or damakaso, or is blood from a wound or something like that, or meiraglayim of a tame mace, or a tamei sheret, but not mei raglayim of a zav. But if you have a mashke chamurin, like the mei raglayim of a zav or a zava, that midal raisa, they're an avatuma midal raisa. So then tamei afal pi shalos a katanur. Then it's going to be able to be metamei the tanur, even if you don't heat up the tanur. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar echad mashken kalin veechad mashken chamurin. Then no, it doesn't make a difference whether it's mashken kalin or mashken chamurin imhusa katanur in ilolo. That only if the oven is going to be fired up, do we assume that it's going to extract that mashkin into the airspace of the tanur and thereby be mitame the tanur. So this is the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If mashkin chamurin are automatically mitame the airspace of the oven that the kli that are absorbed and gets placed into, or no, not automatically mitame. It's only going to be mitame if the oven gets fired up where the liquid is going to be extracted. Say Eisfei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish from our Mishnah. Hitbilo va'asal gabav taros. So we said a person is matbil a beggar that had a kesem, and then he puts him in contact with taros. Ve'hever lof shvasal manav lo avar. And then he washes it with the seven detergents, and the kesem remains intact. Harez etzeva. Then you know that it's only dye utaros of taros, and the taros that were in contact with that beggar are all tohoros. Vein tzorach latbil. You don't have to be tovel the beggar another time. So the fact that we're tola, that it's tseva, is because even if it were dam, it would become so absorbed until if it became so absorbed that it was not removed by Shiva Sammanim, so it's tar anyway, midin tuma balua. Meaning it's not necessarily a great raya that it's not dam. It might have been dam, but if it's dam that's so balua in the beged that it's not going to be removed, al yidei havar Shiva Sammanim, it must be that makes it tuma balua, and tuma balua is not metame. So mashkin tmeim that are in charasim also should be considered tuma balua, and even if al yidei hesekatanur they can come out, but it's tuma balua. So Reish Lakish responds, Amalei hanach l'ksamim drabanan. How can you bring a raya from dine ksamim to dine tuma dar raisa? Ksamim are only midrabanan, so that's why we're makel by tuma balua, and any time it's by tuma balua that's able to come out, but tuma dar raisa we're not going to be makel. So says Rabbi Yochanan, I'll ask weiter. V'atani Rabbi Chia. Dam nida vaday maver lof shiva sammanim umevatlo. Even if you have dam nida vaday, and it's not just a kesem, you know that it's dam of a nida. It's from a real re'ia. You have the shiva sammanim, and even if the kesem does not get removed, it's tahar. So dam is it would come out from the detergent called tzafun. So you see that even tumadar raisa could be tahar midin tuma balua, even when it's able to come out of eventually. So Amalei, Rabbi Loshana, Rabbi Chia Minalei. Rabbi never taught such a brisa, so I don't know where Rabbi Chia would have gotten such a chiddush from, and therefore we don't paskin like this brisa. The fact that Rabbi Chia taught this brisa is not meaningful to me, because it's not based on the teachings of Rabbi. So now Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish from the Mishnah in the third paragraph of Maseches Ahalos. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Revi is dam. If you have a Revi is of dam that comes from a dead body, where it should be metamei ba'ohel, shenivla bebayis, that gets absorbed into the karka of the house. Habayis tamei. All the kelim in the house are tamei. Va'amrila, habayis tahar. And others say, no, the bayis is tahar. Velo pligian, it's not a machlokas. Ha bekelim demei kara. When we say that the bayis is tamei, it's talking about the kelim that were in the house before the blood became absorbed in the ground. And ha bekelim devasov. And when we say that the bayis is going to be tahar, it's talking about the kelim that came into the house after the blood was absorbed into the ground. Nivla beksus, if a revius dam is absorbed into a beged, imis kabesis viotzi men a revius dam. If you're able to launder that beged and extract the revius of dam, tameya, then the kelim that were in the bayis together with that beged are going to be tamei. But v'im lav tahor, if you're not able to extract the revius dam from the beged, then it's tahor, because the dam that's balu on the beged that's not able to be extracted through laundering is not considered to be there. So the bayis is not ma'il over a revius of dam. So with this dam that only comes out al yidei erchak, like al yidei this detergent called tzafun, and nevertheless not metame because it's considered tumah balu. Balua. So it's a kasha and Reish Lakish, that which is only going to come out Ali Dei Adchak is considered Tuma Balua. Some Rav Kahana Mikuli Revio Shanukan. This is one of the kulos of Revius. Shiny Dam Tavusa Drabanan. That the din of Dam Tavusa, which is what we're talking about, which is not Matami Ba'oel, it's only Matami Midrabanan. Dam Tavusa is a Revius of Dam that comes out from a murder victim, and we're not sure if most of it came out while he was alive and the Dam is therefore Tahar, or if most of it came out after he died and the Dam is therefore Tame. So the Chamor goes there that it's Mitame. So there were further Machme that it would be Mitame in such a case of a Suffolk. So since this Revius is, even if it was not absorbed, there's only a Tumah Midrabanan, so when it's absorbed, we're going to be Mekel. It's a special Kula that we have. Final challenge, anything that's balua that cannot be extracted is tahar. But if you're able to extract it, tameh. The aval gav de lo nafik, even though it has not yet been extracted. If you're not able to take it out, but you're also not makbid, you're not makbid to extract it, then everyone would agree that it's tahar. But if you're able to extract it and you're makbid to extract it, divrei hakol tame, then everyone would agree that it's tame, that it's considered that the dam is still there. Ki pligi, where do we have machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? Diyach lotzeis, where you're able to extract it, but v'lau hikbid alav, you're not makbid about it. So mar sava Reish Lakish holds kiven diyach lotzeis, since it's able to be extracted, afal gav v'lau hikbid alav, it's going to be tame, even though you're not makbid about it. Umar savar, and then Rabbi Yochanan holds, even though it's something that's able to be extracted from where it's absorbed, in imhikbid alav in. If you're makbid about it, then it's tame. But ilo, if you're not makbid about it, it's not tame. Midin tuma balua. So the Mishnah is talking about a case where you were makbid on that which was balua, you were makbid lahotzio, and therefore dafka, when it's not able to be extracted, it's going to be tahar, and when it's able to be extracted, it's going to be tame. But when you're not makbid, even when the balua is able to be extracted, it's going to be tahar, and therefore the tanur is not going to be tame from the mashkim that are balua in the charasim, even though they're able to be extracted by lighting up the tanur, by firing up the tanur, because you're not makbid to be motzi those mashkim. But according to Reish Lakish, since the mashkim are able to be extracted, they're matami the tanur, even if you're not makbid. And that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and Beis Hashem. Tomorrow we're going to pick up Ezer Rok Tafel. We're going to continue to discuss the shivas amanim that are used to clean a kesem.